This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. It's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We have Donner Party continuation here in a moment. You thought yesterday was dark? Yesterday was the beginning. You know, it does occur to me, I do the Ask Dr. Jesse Friday because it's the end of the week. Everyone's stressed. Let's have some fun. I tell you, we're not going to do too much news. Don't want to bring anybody down. And then I'm doing a show on cannibalism. Maybe I should have gone a different direction this week, Chris. That'll be fine. What? People need to know. Not making this stuff up. It's better than the stuff BK says. Gosh, that freaking guy. But it is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. 877-377-4373. 877-377-4373. I have a stack of emails here. I will take phone calls. Let's have some fun. Just as soon as we're done with our little westward expansion. I am not recapping yesterday for you. If you missed part one of the Donner Party saga, every podcast is available at the touch of your fingers on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. Go. I would highly recommend you listen to part one of this story before we get to now. So let us pick up where we left off. They have just finished crossing the salt flats. They are now in trouble. And they're starting to know they're in trouble. They got across the salt flats. They obviously lost many of their oxen. They lost some of their stuff. They're eating up all their food. They're drinking up all of their water. And honestly, food, water, oxen, all these things may actually pale in comparison to that other critical, precious thing they are losing. Time. Remember what I told you yesterday. It is not some fly-by-night process to just pack up everything and head out west. People were well aware of the various dangers from tribes, well aware of the dangers from weather.
If you were heading out west, you went to this outpost first, and then this fort first, and then you made sure you left by this date, because this date you have to be here, and by this date you have to be there, and by that date you have to be... There is a time frame, period. And not to dwell on something relatively minor, but something you and I actually probably take for granted, almost undoubtedly take for granted. You see, we live in a world now of climate control. You don't really think about it, right? I don't really think about it. But where can't you live right now? Okay, Antarctica is like an extreme example. But no matter where you are in America, here's what I know. No matter where you are in America, unless you're outside exercising, as you hear my voice right now, you are existing at 72 degrees or 5 degrees either side of that. I know that for a fact. Why do I know that? Because you live in a climate-controlled life now. You're climate-controlled in your car. You're climate-controlled at your work. You are climate-controlled in your home. You realize how recent that is when you look through the lens of history? Oh, don't get me wrong, man's been building fires and things like that, but you realize how recent it is? You walk up to a knob on the wall. I think I'll decide what temperature I want it to be in here and turn it to that, and it just goes there. That's ridiculous. What I'm saying is, for most of the past, huge things, not tiny things, although those too, but huge things were decided based on the weather, based on the time of year. Until the Mongols came along and blew this whole thing out of the water. Armies didn't even campaign in the winter. It's the craziest thing in the world. I mean, full-blown occupations. Caesar, we talked about it, I think it was this week, Caesar's takeover of Gaul. He's in the middle of Gaul in a war with the Gallic tribes. They're there too. And the winter comes and everybody's just like, "Woo! All right, we'll see you again in the summertime." And everyone just goes to winter quarters there. They don't even go home. We have the cabins built, right? I hope there are fires in there. Everything just stops. Oh, we're not moving in the snow. What are you, out of your mind? Moving in the snow? Timing is everything. And the Donner Party is losing time, and they're losing it fast. And now, because they're losing time, they're losing food, they're losing water, they're losing oxen, they're also losing something else people lose, especially people who aren't close and aren't trained together. They're losing tempers. How are you when you're hungry? I am not proud to admit I will still raise my voice and maybe gently throw something if I'm hungry enough and they get my order wrong. And I get home and I sit down to eat and the entire order's wrong and there are tomatoes all over it or something. You might hear me be like, I can't say it on the radio, but, and it'll depend what I say on whether or not the kids are in the room. That's me sitting down to a Jack-in-the-Box burger at home. What if you just crossed the Great Salt Flats and you're starving and you're thirsty and things are going poorly? And now the resentment. You remember Reed? We talked about Reed yesterday with the double, you know, the two-tower car or wagon with the money. Had a way about him that people didn't like. They actually had, when they split off and went this way, when, you know, the rest of the wagon train went the normal way and they went this way, when they took the cutoff, Hastings cutoff, they actually had an election to decide who was going to be the next captain, who is leading this. They're smart enough to realize one person has to lead it, and Reed is the obvious choice. He's the strongest personality. He's making all these decisions. They picked Donner. Talk about the all-time bad luck. That's actually why it's called the Donner Party. Truth be told, Donner is a relatively minor player in this story compared to Reed, and it's forever known as the Donner Party. It sucks. But they didn't elect Reed. Guy was not well thought of, which brings us to this point. The going is now very, very, very difficult. Have you ever hiked or traveled through difficult terrain? Here's the thing about nature, about the things God created. You can feel this on the ocean. You can feel it during natural disasters. You can feel it in the mountains, in the hills, in the wilderness. It feels insurmountable. It feels like it can't be defeated. They are not going along a trail now that is made for oxen, that is made for wagons. They are having to chop their way through this place. So they're already behind on time. They're already short on food. They're already short on water. They're so short, they actually have already sent two guys ahead to California to go get resupplies and bring them back food. They're starving. And on top of that, they're having to cut a trail, not just walk down a trail. And something really violent happens.
Jesse Kelly.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen.
For late nights writing English papers.
For your teen's music taste.
For dinners where they talk more on their phone than with you.
For the first time, they call you mom.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen, and you can't imagine the reward.
To learn more about adopting a teen, visit AdoptUSKids.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Part-time job, full-time hustle, all-time Shiro to all of us. You nurture, we listen. You teach, we thrive. You lift our spirits, but we've got to lay down the truth. It's time for you, our Shiro, to stretch for the stars. Start saving more for retirement now, so you can feel prepared and live your life to the fullest. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org/Shiro.
A message brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Things are frustrating when you're tired, you're hungry, desperate, and they know what time it is, too. They're well aware of the timing. There is an incident. I'm not going to break down every detail of it. Essentially, one of the Teamsters, whenever I say Teamster, don't be thinking union. One of the guys, you hire people to run your oxen teams, right? One of them gets frustrated. Someone else's wagon gets tangled with his. He gets out, starts beating one of the oxen with the wooden handle of his whip. Reed, again, this is Reed, poorly thought of Reed, and this will come into play for a moment, in a moment. Reed goes running over there. They have an altercation. The story goes, the Teamster hits Reed in the head with the wooden handle and then rears back to hit him again. Reed, to his credit, busts out a hunting knife and jams it into the guy's chest. Pulls it out of the guy's chest. The guy stumbles a few feet, dead. Now imagine that scene of the desperate, tired, hungry, thirsty people. And now you have a death on your hands. I don't want to call it a murder. They actually decide to put Reed on trial for murder. This is how poorly he was thought of. I cannot find an account of what happened here that doesn't sound like, I mean, either blatantly self-defense, but certainly not murder. I'm talking somebody turned a wagon on its side and said, let's hang him right now. They have an impromptu trial where it's decided somehow, some way, that they will banish Reed instead of putting him, instead of hanging him. Now, keep in mind, that's borderline a death sentence anyway, and they wanted to banish him without weapons or anything, and they are in Indian country, as we are about to find out. And he still has to eat. He couldn't carry enough food. You got to kill your food. But Reed gets banished now. Reed is gone. It does not get better from there. The wagon train continues slowly. There was an older man. He was an immigrant, I believe, from Sweden, if I remember right. He is sickly, extremely sickly. And there is a lot of work, a lot of physical labor taking place here by everybody. Don't think anyone's sitting around now. Everybody's chopping and shoveling and moving. And except for this guy. This guy's not able to do anything. He's not physically healthy enough. And shamefully, but this tells you where they were mentally, morally, however you want to put it, they kick the man out of the wagon and leave him there. And he was never seen again. Getting ugly now. And let's talk about where they are here. They're not in settled territory yet. I keep calling it Indian territory. Let's keep in mind, the Indians very much viewed this as their land, and they were not pleased about a bunch of white dudes stomping through there, claiming it for themselves, shooting all the animals, making a bunch of noise, trashing the place, and frankly, I wouldn't have appreciated it either, and neither would you. So this next part of the story is often looked at as just flat out cruel, and it is a bit cruel, but part of me understands. The Indians, a group of Indians, they start killing the oxen and cattle. They start shooting poison arrows at them and killing them and laughing as these white people are dying and starving, making it worse and worse and worse. Like I said, it's getting bad, and we're not even to the ugly parts yet. Now, this is the part of the story right here that really drives it home to you that these people should never have left civilization, because here's what happens. Remember when I said they sent two guys ahead to go get food and such? They come back. Well, I should say one of the two comes back. I'm not going to go into it. One of the two comes back with the resupplies. Had, I believe it was 7 mules full of resupplies. This is awesome, right? We go, let's eat and let's go. We can do this. Kind of. They chose to rest and replenish at this time. Remember when I told you timing's everything? They're already behind. They took a few days off. Let's rest up. I mean, we got food now. Woo! We're going to be fine. Let's rest up. Took another few days. Ooh, this is a nice river. These people had no business being out here ever. And it is, I will tell you, unless it comes from heaven, I don't really believe in cursed things, cursed journeys. Maybe I should. But the things that happen here and happen to these people, right now, somebody gets shot in the back and dies. You know how? Oh, just an accident. Just moving around. Someone had his finger on the trigger like an idiot. Shot somebody. Killed him. Guy was a husband. Wife and kids were right there. Died. They had to bury him. This is how it's going. Now they're moving. They're trying to get over the Sierra Nevada. They have to get over the Sierra Nevadas before winter gets there. And now, even though these idiots keep taking breaks, now they are desperate because it is starting to get cold. They're looking up and they talk about this. They're starting to see some white-capped peaks in the mountains out there. Uh-oh. and the Donner family. Remember, this is more than just the Donners. It's the Donners, the Reeds, it's other families, it's single people, but the Donner family specifically, boom, wagon breaks. Now they're at the point, and they continue to do this. I don't know what's wrong with these people. I don't know if there's a failure of leadership, if there's too many bad people involved, but instead of everybody stop now, let's get the Donner wagon fixed, they leave the Donner family behind, and everybody just moves on. Hey, hope you catch up. Good luck. And I'm not there. I'm not there. Maybe the Donners insisted. Oh, you guys go. I don't know. I'm not there. But the selfishness of so many people in this story, and some selflessness, let's be honest, but the selfishness of so many people in this story. You just, when terrible things happen, sometimes people just band together and join together and get through it. And sometimes, I don't know what the difference is, and sometimes they don't. I live down here in the South. You remember Hurricane Harvey? If you're not in the Houston area, I understand our show's national now. Remember Hurricane Harvey was that hurricane? Not a terrible hurricane, but it just got over Houston and stopped for 5 days, dropped like 48 inches of water on us. This entire place was underwater. Everything you see, there was no looting. There were the Cajun Navy coming from Louisiana, people coming from all over the country, bringing their boats, people just hitching up a boat, personal boats. Oh, we got to drive down and help. Everybody around here, and I mean everybody around me, on a boat. This person's in trouble. Get in your car. We got to go save this guy. His mom's trapped in there. And it was without a second thought. Hey, let's go. We're moving. Everybody joined together. It was one, honestly, it's maybe the most inspirational thing I've ever seen in the United States of America because I was here. It was astounding. But juxtapose that with what happened in Katrina. The worst thing in the world happened to those people. And they shot and stole from each other. I don't know what changes, what the difference is, but it's going from bad to worse here. You need some gold as part of your portfolio. It's time. I know what you're thinking. Oh, but it's too late now. No, it's not. Gold Alliance knows what they're doing. This is not their first time. They will walk you through setting up a gold IRA. You know what happens in presidential elections. You're a history fan. You listen to my show. What happens? Markets up, markets down. People are going to wake up Wednesday morning after that election and potentially have lost an absolute fortune. And here's the thing. It's not just about this election. This is our future now. Uncertainty. Market's going crazy. So get some certainty with a gold IRA. Go to goldalliance.com/Jesse. That's goldalliance.com/Jesse. Go there today. Get your gold IRA. You need one. Donner wagon breaks down. They leave the Donner family behind, and they march on, and they are now within miles of the summit. They can smell it. They have to get there, and it starts to snow, and they were looking at this white stuff falling from the sky in absolute horror because they knew what it meant for them if they did not get to that summit before that snow socked in. And it's not a couple nice flakes like in those Christmas movies you love. It starts to dump. And now they're pressing forward and pressing forward. and they're almost there, and they have to get to the summit, except now the snow is starting to bunch up on the ground more and more and more, and now they're running into 2-foot snowdrifts, 3-foot snowdrifts, 4-foot snowdrifts, 5-foot snowdrifts. You know what a drift is? It means if it was a flat plane, it wouldn't all be 5 feet deep. They didn't get 5 feet of snow. But because of winds and where certain things are, in certain areas, you'll have 5 feet of snow. I've been in places in Montana with snow drifts deeper than that. You get these in the mountains all the time. You get it in uneven terrain. They get a quarter mile from the summit, and they have to turn back. Remember all that time I told you about yesterday? They missed summiting by 1 day. If they had gotten there yesterday, they make it over. But they didn't make it over. In case you're wondering, Donner back there, he's miles, he's about 6 miles away at this point. He's back there trying to fix his own wagon, which is broken. I mean, again, curses. I mean, maybe I do believe in curses. Donner injures his hand and injures his hand severely while trying to fix his wagon, injures it so badly, he's one-handed. So he's got women and kids trying to help him fix things, and he just can't do it. The Donner family just flat out accepts, we are all alone and we're going to have to stay here. And they start setting up a camp. The rest of the group, separate from the Donner family, finds a lake. There was a lake up close to the summit, and they decide this is where we have to stay. They're desperate. The snow is pouring down. They start setting up lean-tos. They're killing the oxen and using the oxen hide as rooftops. They're freezing. They're hungry. Not dying of thirst. That's at least something you don't have to worry about in the snow, but hunger you do, very much so. 1 day from the summit. Now remember Reed, who'd been banished? Reed knew his family was in very deep trouble because remember how much trouble they were in when he left them. And how desperate would you be? Remember, it's his wife. It's his children there, and he gets kicked out. What level of desperation would you have? He gets over to a place called Sutter's Fort. This would be like if you made it. If they had made it, they would have got to Sutter's Fort. Apparently, they say the guy looked half dead when he got there. He's about starved to death. He begs for help at the fort. Says, my people are dying. My family is dying. This whole party is dying. I need a rescue team, and I need a rescue team right now. We have to go back and get them as any father and husband would, right? Let's go. We got to go get them now. He actually gathers people together to everyone's credit. Yes, let's go. Let's rescue them. They put together this big rescue operation, and they charge back towards the Donner Party, and they can't get through the mountain. They can't get back through. You see, this isn't even a normal winter. Again, you believe in curses? This one breaks records for snowfall. They turn around. Reed, of course, didn't want to. You would die before you just left your wife and kids out there. But he knows he can't do it by himself. So he goes back to the fort, goes back to Sutter's Fort, starts trying to put together another team. Hey, all right, this one failed. We need a new team. We are desperate. My wife and kids are out there dying. Help. Can you help? Can you help? And get this. We had just started a war with Mexico over California and other places. All the young men had just been called off to war. There was nobody left to help. They said, sorry. No more rescue missions for you now. There's nobody here. Now the cattle are starting to die. You see, cattle, they need what? They need food like anything else. Guess what they don't get when there's feet of snow on the ground? They can't get down to the food. So the cattle are dying. The cattle are being killed. People are freezing and saving whatever they can. They're eating the meat. They're now at a point where their diet is consisting almost exclusively of meat, which doesn't sound like the worst thing in the world until you realize you have other nutrients your body desperately needs. How much fresh fruit do you think they're picking out of 5-foot snowdrifts in the Sierra Nevadas? And the meat itself, as the animals are running out, I know what you're thinking, Jesse, why don't they just go hunting? They're in the mountains. Well, you have to understand this, you city slickers. In the mountains, animals don't live in 5-foot snowdrifts either. In fact, I used to hunt all the time, you know, deer and elk and things like that in the mountains of Montana. And you would gauge where you were going to hunt them based on where the snows are. They'll stay as high as they can, but you know, you look up and the mountain's stocked in with snow, you know they're going to be low. They have to go down where they can work their way down through the snow and eat the grass. What I'm trying to tell you is if you're stuck close to a mountaintop on a lake with 5-foot snowdrifts, the deer aren't sticking around, Jack. The deer are gone. Even the bear, they tried to hunt bear. What do bears do in the wintertime, kids? Bears hibernate. Bear ain't walking around either. There aren't natural animals to kill. Certainly not enough to feed them. They're even, and this is another weird thing, some of them are grouped together around this lake. You know, you'll get two families here or two families there, but they spread themselves way out, like half a mile apart, a mile apart. It's inexplicable how these people divided and separated in so many, I mean, so many cases. It's inexplicable. It's awful. Cattle are dying. They make the winter camp. Donners are still separated. They're now running out of food. And now that they're out of food, they're starting to make, I don't even know if it's fair to call it soup. They're starting to make soup out of ox hide, where they're boiling ox hide with water and get this wood chips and things like that, trying to get just more things into their body. Apparently, they say it had a consistency like glue. Some people at first couldn't even eat it. It was so disgusting. Yeah, it's exactly what you would think. It's like you're eating Elmer's paste. This is how desperate they are. It's about to get even worse.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The malnutrition is starting to get very bad. Now people were starting to die from it. And now they're doing the right thing where they figure out, okay, we have to attempt some sort of a breakout. We have to send somebody over. Because remember, there's no text messaging. They don't even know that anyone's coming. They certainly don't know Reed is trying to organize things. Remember, Reed's been banished. They probably think he's dead. They don't know what's coming. And I should mention from earlier, I didn't mention them earlier. Remember the guys who they sent two guys ahead and came back with supplies? The guys didn't only come back with supplies. They came back with two Indian guides. These were Indians. They were going to help them out. I forget their names. Not that I would give you their names anyway. You know I'm not big on names. But these people at the lake, they decide we have to try to get out of here. So they put together a group of 15 men and women and one boy, 12 years old. They viewed these as being the healthiest, strongest people who could try to make the trip. By the way, wrap your mind around that and consider that. I have an 11-year-old son. He turns 12 in, I think, 8 days or something. I don't know what his birthday is. Do I give him enough responsibility? Oh, you know me. I give him a ton. But a 12-year-old boy was part of the 15-man dangerous breakout crew. They are trying to break out. They know they need to break out. But remember, think how hard it is to prepare. Think how hard it is to pack for a week on vacation, or if you're going to see your mother-in-law, God forbid, or something like that. Now imagine trying to pack the food you need for a breakout for 15 people when there isn't food around. I'll have the flank steak. No, not that. The one with the Cajun seasoning. No. Does anyone have any extra wood chips for my journey? They have to pack food while also leaving enough food for the people behind. And let's keep in mind now, I haven't wanted to dwell on this, but I told you it was going to get dark, and we're going to get frank about it today. There are children here, lots of children, 3-year-old babies, 6, 7, 8 years old, 9, 10, 11. There are kids everywhere. So you can't just take all the food. Sorry, kids, best of luck. They take 6 days worth of food, this 15-man breakout crew. They charge on. They charge on, and after 6 days, they had, to their credit, they had constructed some snowshoes, which you have to have snowshoes to move through the snow. If you don't know what they are, it's essentially like a gigantic, picture like a big mesh extra wide foot you put on the bottom of your foot. You strap it to the bottom of your shoe. And what happens is you don't sink down into the snow anymore. You'll sink down a little. Yes, that's a great way to put it, Chris. A tennis racket. That's exactly what it is. In fact, a tennis racket would work great. You would strap a tennis racket on the bottom of your foot, and that's a snowshoe. So they charge on. They make it 6 days. They're now out of food. They still have to keep going because they know if they turn back, they're going to die. And now the 15-man breakout crew, now they're dying too. One man. In fact, the man who went ahead and got the two Indian guides and brought that back and brought back resupplies, his name is Stanton. He sits down and says, "Go on without me. I'm done." And they leave him there. The last they saw him, he was sitting in the snow, dying, smoking his pipe, saying goodbye. In case you thought this cursed trip couldn't get any worse, they're also going blind at various periods of time. The breakout crew, there's a thing, if you've never lived in the snow, there's a thing called snow blindness. You know, here's the best way I can describe it. You know when you watch the Winter Olympics, and you see all the skiers and snowboarders and all these things, what do each and every one of them have on? Not just goggles, tinted goggles, heavily tinted goggles. Why do you think they would want heavily tinted goggles? The snow, it's similar to water. only it's worse, and the sun reflects off it and magnifies off it. It will blind you. If you get up in the mountains and the sun shines and there's snow all around you and you don't have sunglasses, you can get snow blindness so bad, and it happened to these people, where you will go flat out blind for a day. I mean pitch black blind. You can't see anymore. And this is happening to the breakout crew while they're starving, just trying to get through. I mean, you talk about bad things on top of other bad things. They get to a point, they're starving so much, they actually sit down, and this is the first time on this trip where they have the talk. We're all hungry. We're all going to die. There's only one thing we could possibly eat around here. And they draw straws because they decide they can't wait for someone to die naturally. They have to kill somebody. Hang on.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. That's doihaveprediabetes.org.
Wait, did they just say one in three adults has prediabetes? That's 33.33333% of adults. That means it could be me, my boss, or my boss's boss, or me, my favorite sister, or my other sister. That's seven members of my 21-person romantic book club. Wait, the one in three could be me, my karaoke partner Carol, or my karaoke enemy Jeff. I'm going to take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Pre-Diabetes Awareness Partners.
They draw straws to see who has to get shot so everyone else can eat him. And I do want to, in fairness to these people, I do want you to understand, they agonized over this. There wasn't anybody celebrating it. They drew the straws. Some dude gets the short straw, and to their credit, they couldn't do it. They could not do it. Now, it's getting really bad. The snow is still pouring down. They're starving. They're freezing to death. And the snowdrifts are not 5 feet anymore. Those days are long gone. We're in 10, 15-foot snowdrifts. And I want you to understand that. They're on top of the snow. They're 10, 15, maybe 20 feet above where the actual ground is. Do you understand that? Do you have a picture in your mind? It's going to come into play for this next tale of horror. Hang on.
Listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
They're on this gigantic snowdrift. They're freezing. The snow's coming down. So they organize each other. To their credit, this is still the breakout crew, mind you. They sit touching each other. They drape a blanket over each other, and they let the snow fall down on top of them. You see, snow, believe it or not, is an outstanding insulator. If you can keep yourself from actually touching it, why do you think igloos work so well? Igloos are extremely warm, extremely warm. If you can get it set up right with the proper amount of heat inside, it kind of give yourself an ice glaze on the walls, the heat will stay in. Everything will stay in and stay together. And they're doing, I mean, it's obviously very rough, but they're doing a makeshift one of those. And they have a fire built, and they're letting the smoke out from under the blanket. Well, that goes really poorly. Everybody falls asleep. You can't fall asleep with a blanket draped over a fire. And look, it's not their fault. You're starving. You're exhausted. You're not doing well. You're not going to be able to stay awake. Everyone falls asleep. The fire begins to melt down a circle in the snow. They begin to sink. They wake up, and not only has the blanket caught on fire, that's what wakes them up, it actually saves their lives. They look around, and they're underneath the snow. I want you to picture like a big circle got driven into the snow, and they're under it. This is the breaking point for one guy. He goes insane and goes, he strips off all of his clothes and goes streaking into the woods. They have to run him down. His mind completely breaks. He dies the next day. Things are not going well. Another guy dies while his two daughters are holding him. If you thought that was the last heartbreaking thing or worst thing I'm going to tell you today, you should probably turn off the radio now. It actually gets worse. And remember this. I want you to listen. I want you to listen, and I want you to understand, this is not a story from a dime store fiction novel. These are real people this happened to, and to be honest, they're people just like you and people just like me. People have existed like this. You're stressed out about an election or job or whatnot. I'm not telling you those aren't valid stresses. You counting your blessings a little more right now? Your kids holding you while you die right now? The breakout crew, because people are dying, they make the decision, it's time to eat. They start cooking the people. Well, they start slicing off pieces of the people and eating them. They are cooking them on the fire and eating them. They are horribly ashamed of what they're doing. They say they cover their faces and won't look at each other while they eat. Now, not everybody is willing to eat. And one of the most brutal ironies of all time, the people who aren't willing to eat, they're dying, period. The Indians, remember the two Indians were part of this breakout crew? The Indians, to their credit, I think it's really cool. The Indians will not do it. They simply will not do it. I'm not eating people. I'm not doing it. And get this. How crappy is this? One of the people in the breakout crew, he says, well, let's kill the Indians and eat them. They're only Indians. Another person in the breakout crew goes to the Indians and tells them, this dude wants to kill you guys. Get out of here. The Indians apparently looked on in stunned disbelief and kind of separated themselves from the crew. Only they didn't separate fast enough. They just kind of wandered off. Remember when I said the people who didn't eat the human flesh didn't make it very long on this breakout crew? The Indians are dying too. They find them laying in the snow, side by side, dying, and somebody pulls out a pistol and shoots them both in the head and they eat them. That 15-man crew, they're down to 6 now when they finally make it back to the lake. Made it back to the lake half dead. Well, there were relief parties, multiple relief parties still being organized. And at this point in time, one of them actually gets there and they choose 24 people in total and take them out. One of those 24 people was Reed's wife, another one of his kids. Reed hasn't seen these people. Reed's not part of this relief crew, mind you, but Reed has his own relief crew coming. They're behind them. What I'm saying is there was a moment where Reed is coming in and the other relief crew is pulling these 24 people out, and Reed meets his wife in the mountains, half dead. Apparently, it just broke him. It just broke him. Reed has to push past her. Go on, baby. Save yourself. I have to go get my other kids. You know your kid? How much do you coddle your kid? Remember we talked about the 12-year-old the other day? The Reeds left behind their 8-year-old daughter to take care of their 3-year-old son. What's the hardest decision you've ever had to make? Reed gets back to the lake and finds out the people at the lake are now eating each other too. And this is going to be difficult, all right? What I'm about to say is probably one of the ugliest, somberest scenes I've ever laid out on this show. I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to move past it, and I'm not going to repeat it, but I think you need to know it. You need to know this is what people have gone through. They're not only eating the adults, they're eating the children when they die. People are going insane with shame, insane with hunger. And there's a story about a child, I believe, don't quote me on this, I believe the child was a little over a year old, sitting by his mother, calling her name, and his mother is sitting there dead, half eaten with parts of her off. The story ends. In total, there were about 87 people, 46 survivors, I believe. They get out. They tell their tale. Very few of them obviously advertised the cannibalism part. The one guy who did came out and he's like, yeah, I ate people. I had to survive. He was ostracized from society. The story, as you can imagine, I mean, look, I know you're a little spellbound right now too. Gosh, I am just telling it. The story, as you can imagine, is so horrific. They remember all that massive immigration out west? Westward ho! Immigration to the west virtually comes to a stop because of how horrific this story is and does not pick up again until they find gold in California. The story is so bad. The Donner Party story is so bad, it temporarily stopped westward expansion in America. So if you're horrified right now, just know the entire country was horrified. Should be noted, to this day, you can go visit Donner Pass. I actually think I'm going to go visit Donner Pass. I don't know. I'm not a sentimental type, but I almost kind of want to go pay homage to the survivors and those who perished. But I want to go see it. Told you it was going to get dark. All right, it's Ask Dr. Jesse time. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
I actually did have a purpose for all that. I hear And I'm guilty of this, so I'm not pointing fingers at you. I hear a lot of yelling and screaming about where we are right now, because we're coming up on an election, and it's such an important election, and things are so stressful, and the media is lying, and they're not reporting this, and they're making up lies about that, and Biden sucks, and I all these things are valid, and I am not doing this. I'll just let it go. It doesn't matter. It does matter. It is a big deal. However, count your blessings. Count your blessings. You get to live here and now. Because there are a lot of people who have lived through a level of hell that you and I can't even wrap our minds around. Is that not that story I just read you last 2 days, the Donner Party story? Is it not so much worse than you had imagined it be? It's horrific. People lived that. How many people do you have to eat today? Your kid going to look at you in the eye today and say, "Mommy, I'm starving"? No. Lord willing, no. Keep that in mind. 877-377-4373. 877-377-4373. It's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email during the show. We get them and print them off during the show, too. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let us dig in. I have a question here that is going to be offensive. I feel the need to let everybody know this question is actually from a woman. And it is direct. I request, it's dear Dr. Jesse, oh great and powerful Shogun, Oracle, the steel of truth and wisdom. That's going all in. I request your wisdom on the movement of, quote, beautiful at any size, end quote. And fat women in bikinis and leggings. Then she says, I'm not PC, I'm a Marine, so on and so forth. I'll say this. One, different people have different body types. They just do. I'm 6'8". I'm so long that I can put on 10 or 15 pounds and actually be a disgusting, out-of-shape, fat piece of garbage. And you would never tell. There are other people, their genetics have them, different body types are different ways. So I'm genuinely, as horrible of a person as I am not and will never be one of those. Oh, look at the fat guy, ha ha ha. Dude, so many people, if they look at a pack of sugar, they gain 10 pounds. I'll never know what that's like. But more specifically to the beautiful at any size thing, you know, I know you've seen the billboards. They have lingerie models that are like 350 now and telling people that. You have to understand how the left thinks or what the left thinks. There's a reason you look around you and it feels like so much of the world has gone crazy. Why do you think they always trash America itself? Leftism can only come into power and exist without standards. You must destroy any standards. Everything has to be inclusive. Everything has to be equal. Equal? What? Who's equal? We're not equal. You and I aren't equal. Me and producer Chris aren't equal. People have different skills. Nobody's equal. You may be equal in the eyes of God. I'm not equal to my wife. She's not equal to me. You're not equal to your neighbor. Equality is a total myth, and people are obsessed with it. I'm not equal to LeBron James. He's not equal to me. There is no equality out there. We have to be inclusive. We have to tell everybody they're equal. No, actually, thin or relatively fit, beautiful people get to be models and actresses more often. Why? They get to be news anchors more often. Why? And I'm in this business. I'm in the media business. I do an hour-long TV show, as you know, every single day on the first. Have you seen the women in conservative media? They all look like models. Why? That's what people want to look at. It's not more complicated than that. It's a visual product. Doesn't make them stupid. Doesn't lower their skills. We're about to have Rebecca Heinrichs on. Rebecca Heinrichs, she's our foreign policy. She's been on several times before. She just kills it all the time. Absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. I was at a party when she walked in D.C. She was about 11 months pregnant at the time. The whole party stopped. Like, everybody stopped talking. They're like, geez, what in the world? That's part of the business. Part of life. And you know what? We don't all get access to everything. And life's unfair. That's just the bottom line. Life's unfair. And it's extremely unhealthy to tell people they should be gigantic. Because it's just flat out bad for your body. It's hard for your body. It's hard on your knees, your back, your heart. Your body is not made to be that size. It's just not. It's just not. All right. Dear Shogun Plumber. I need some advice. My kid produces... I'm not sure... Should I read this email verbatim? All right, I'm just going to read this email verbatim. All right. My kid produces tennis ball can size business. He's talking about what he does on the John. Last week, I found myself stabbing a plunger into the throne, and the plunger got stuck inside, and as I began to remove it from the soup, it snapped right side out and sent witch's brew all over my face and clothing. What is the proper sanitation procedure? First of all, get everybody out of the house and burn the home down with those clothes in it. And you need to stand close enough to the fire to melt that off. I'm so disgusted right now. I am so disgusted right now. But actually, I have an even worse story than that. Did not happen to me. This is a real life story. And it's so disgusting. You know what? I'm trying to think about, Chris, I feel like it's the show, which is supposed to be light and fluffy on a Friday, was one as dark as we've ever done in the beginning. And now it's going to get gross. All right, you know what? Here it is. Here's the story. I am in the Marine Corps at the time. We get word, 9/11 happens, all these things happen. I'm in the Marine Corps infantry, and we get word, hey, get your stuff packed up. We are going to stage in Kuwait. Looks like we might declare war on Iraq. All right, it's a big deal. It is a big deal packing all that stuff up. Don't think that it's a fast process. It's a big deal. We get everything packed up on our planes, ship over there, and we get to, because we're not at war yet. This is right before the war. We get to Kuwait, where we're having these various camps and staging areas. You know, this Marine unit's here, this Marine unit's there. And we're doing a bunch of different training, and we're ready to go. We don't know what day it's coming, but we're ready to go. And because we are at a camp, because it is the military, obviously you eat a little differently when you're on the move. Armies have borderline mastered hauling around water and food and such. Hang on, I'll explain after Rebecca.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet. Maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own 3 of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get 2. Be like me and get 3. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.